Welcome to SOLIDWORKS Heard, a show about tools, tips, and technology surrounding SOLIDWORKS engineering and the web. This is episode 470 for March 16, 2014. March Tech News. Well, hi, and welcome to SOLIDWORKS Heard. I'm Lou Gallo. Well, today we're going to be getting into the March Tech News. We'll roll it back about 30 days and take a look at what's been happening in the SOLIDWORKS kind of community, what's been happening around the SOLIDWORKS releases, and pretty much really what's going on in the tech blog. A lot of good stuff this month. There's, you know, 8 or 9 or 10 different articles that really kind of caught my eye. I thought was worthwhile. Not much in the kind of the news of tech alerts, but you know, we're kind of in this you know, landscape of tech right now. Everything's been kind of shipped. We're getting over the SOLIDWORKS world on the SOLIDWORKS side and technology in general, kind of the beginning of the year as CES and all the new tech and buzz come out of that. And then things start to calm down a little bit and we start to see a lot of announcements of things like the developer conferences and a lot of things starting to come up. The middle of summer comes, obviously, for the SOLIDWORKS community. We start to hit beta and see all kinds of new stuff that's supposed to come out. So it'll be really interesting. There's been a lot of discussion on the regular SOLIDWORKS blog, the kind of the marketing blog, talking a lot more about mechanical conceptual, but honestly, we haven't really got too much access to it. They started doing some training with a lot of the resellers, and I know that, you know, it's been somewhat of limited access up to now, so I don't really have much to report on there. But as soon as that stuff starts to become available, it's supposed to be sometime in April, I'm hoping to get a lot more kind of wrench time on it, and we can talk a little bit more in depth about where and how this product fits in to design in general. But while we wait for that, why don't we just go ahead and jump into the March tech news? Well, this month I headed over to probably one of my more favorite places to go for the SOLIDWORKS news is I like to check out the tech blog, and that's at blogs.solidworks.com/tech. And one of the posts, one of the first posts rolling all the way back to February 19th was basically the week of National Engineers Week. And according to the National Society of Professional Engineers, they have kind of deemed that day as you know, kind of a time for those of us that are in engineering to kind of reach down and show and share why we became engineers. And it was kind of interesting. It was a post by Josh Altergott. He talked about going to his son's class, and his son's in kindergarten. I have two kids. My youngest is also a boy in kindergarten. And it was kind of an interesting read. He kind of talks a little bit about you know, just trying to do his part as an engineer to kind of educate these young minds on, you know, just the glory of engineering. And it's tough because, you know, you hear a lot of these statistics about, you know, engineering and science and things like that starting to fall in the U.S. And I actually, it's very funny that I'm sitting down. So today's Friday that I'm actually recording this, and it's funny because I went to my son's class today and did about a half hour of how to program, and used a lot of the stuff from code.org and also hourofcode.org, and was teaching these kids some very basic principles on how to program. And it's, you know, it's interesting to see how quickly these kids can latch onto it. So I ask also, if you have an opportunity or you have either your own kids in their classes, or even if you're just a young engineer just out of school, and you have friends that have kids that are in classes, it's always pretty cool to kind of ground yourself a little bit and go into these classrooms and just kind of share why you do what you do. And, you know, SOLIDWORKS is a pretty easy way of showing it. You know, you go into a classroom and you have some pretty cool models. Josh had a model of a Lego truck, you know, and obviously you're going to get the attention of most of the kids in there. And I know that it's very rewarding. And so if you get the opportunity, I definitely recommend to check it out. But that was a post on the tech blog that just kind of caught my eye. A few other ones that they had posted that I thought were pretty worthwhile. They talk a little bit about composer data. There's actually two posts in here specifically around multi-user. One is about data paths, and the other one is about utilizing intelligent views, both of which are kind of good ways of being able to kind of harness and share common libraries within Composer. So if you are a Composer user, I definitely recommend reading those two posts. There's also another one in here I do like as well. It's an electrical tech tip, talking about, you know, adding part numbers to electrical components. Another one, and again, these are the ones that I really tend to dig, are the ones where you're kind of coupling tools, right? So, you know, we have the ability to do flow and basically take the flow results from either pressures or temperatures, bring them in a sim and actually feel, you know, see what the effects of those things are. And kind of coupling the multiple products together. And the one they have here is a real cool one between flow simulation and CircuitWorks. How do you use those two kind of in conjunction? And this is another one that we've been able to do it for a while, but it's just kind of a cool way of being able to see the handoff between these multiple tools, you know, taking something in MCAD and bringing it into SolidWorks and basically being able to build the boards in a physical state so you can actually give them loads and heat sources and things like that, and then running flow to determine their efficiency. So some pretty cool write-ups this month. Another one that's pretty cool is they talk a little bit about the Weldment profiles from 2014 and kind of its overhaul. For those of you that do a lot of weldments, you may remember that when you do Weldment profiles, it used to be a single sketch. And they've essentially now added the ability to make them configurable. This locks and reduces the amount of profiles you actually have to have. If you remember before 2014, basically any variation of that profile, you would have to have a completely separate sketch. And now being able to configure it, not only is it easier to generate them, but it's much easier to data manage because there's a lot less data to deal with. So that's actually a pretty good reminder post for those of you that maybe don't remember the what's new. There's another one in here that I thought was pretty interesting too, talking about working with SolidWorks files on a network. This is one of those things that I think hits a lot of people. If you have not used PDM yet or don't have PDM in your workflow, most likely if you're working with other people, you're probably working with some type of network. And he kind of talks a little bit about, you know, the pros and cons of that and some of the things that you may or may not run into when you're dealing with files over the network. And it is something we've all had those issues pop up, but it is a good topic. This was written by Jim Peltier, and he was up at Javelin, and they talk a little bit about some of the challenges of it, but I definitely recommend checking it out and reading through it if you don't have a PDM package in place, because it just gives you some insight of why some of the challenges happen, especially on data transfer and opening things up and possibilities of hubs and things like that in the network going down is all kind of part of the equation. And the last post that I was going to bring up is one that was posted on March 10th called SolidWorks Buried Treasure. And it talks about some of the kind of the highlighting some of the hidden gems in the SolidWorks user interface. And really, it's one of the things about, for example, you know, it says my model is gone, and it talks a little bit about the hide function. So if you're at the very first feature in your tree and you accidentally hit the little glasses button and hide it, you know, how to kind of triage that. They also talk a little bit about the feature manager hide and seek, which again is another thing I'm sure has happened to all of us, where you right click and you're like, where did that thing go? Where's my design binder? Where did my tables go? Or where's my you know, my e-drawings markups? Where's all this stuff that used to be in there? And they talk about the 16 different items in the feature manager and how to bring them back. And they also talk a little bit about, you know, navigating long feature managers and how to, you know, use the rollback bar and some of the other functions that that they have in there. But I just think it's a really good kind of reminder post of some of the things that you have inside the SolidWorks UI. So that was most of the stuff on the tech blog. There wasn't any tech alerts specifically, except that I did put a link under tech alerts just kind of mentioning that the presentations or the preceding site for SolidWorks World 2014 is now up, and the link is in the show notes. Now, also on the tech blog is the monthly SolidWorks support monthly news. I always have to reread it because it used to be called the support FAQ, and since Julian took it over, they kind of renamed it. But I really like this episode that he did. This version of this monthly news bulletin is actually pretty good. The spotlight on features is a segment that he puts in here, and there's two of them this month. The first one's on sheet metal. Why are those cutouts stretched in the folded body? And it talks a little bit about how the sketch and the cut and how it actually ends up happening across the bend and how the cut actually actually occurs in kind of the real world setup. So it's a good read if you have sheet metal or do a lot of sheet metal parts. It's actually a read that I recommend. The other Spotlight M feature is called Save AutoRecover Cover Info After Meshing and After Running a Simulation Study. This is a function that's inside of your tool's options. It's new in 2014, and it can automatically save file recovery information upon the completion of meshing or running a study in SOLIDWORKS simulation. This is in addition to the SOLIDWORKS Save AutoRecover. So if you go to the backup recovery in your tools options, or in your system options, you'll see a checkbox in there that says Save AutoRecover Info After Meshing and After Running a Simulation Study. It's just a checkbox, second thing down from the top. So you should see it in there, and he talks a little bit about what and how this works. The last area of this kind of monthly news is the noteworthy solutions from the SOLIDWORKS knowledge base. And again, I always mention this, but it always has an icon of the different product that he's talking about. And there's usually five or six of them in there. And I'll just read the topics of them. If you hear any of them that kind of catch your eye or catch your ear, you can go back in and check them out. In this one, there are three, and they're on simulation and plastics. The first one's for simulation. It says, in SOLIDWORKS Simulation 2014 SP2, why am I seeing an unexpected or inconsistent results when using non-uniform distribution pressure load? So it looks like this is a regression, and they have a full description under solution ID S-065495. The next one's for plastics. It says, why doesn't the SOLIDWORKS plastics add in load in 2013 SP5 or earlier using a serial number containing a license of SOLIDWORKS Plastic Advanced? The message says, license error, please contact SOLIDWORKS, appears instead. And this is actually something that wasn't available until SOLIDWORKS 2014 SP1. So keep that in mind. There's more information about this issue under solution S-065153. And the last one on here is for simulation. It's called error message. Element volume is smaller than limit 1.E-40 for element, and then it gives the number. The problem is related to an extremely small or distorted elements, which can cause mathematical problems to the solver. A troubleshooting procedure is given in solution ID S-065116. So that's the monthly news for March, and let's take a look at the industry news. All right, well, last but not least is the industry news, and this is really around everything that's technology-related. For me, it's primarily, kind of the big three, Google, Apple, Microsoft, and just some interesting kind of DIY maker-type tech, too, that I ran across. So a couple of things I thought caught my eye. Obviously with the launch of Windows 8, and they used to have SkyDrive. SkyDrive was actually a media company that sued them, and they had to dump that name. So they kind of redid their naming for SkyDrive, which was basically their kind of Google Drive or Dropbox type of function. And Microsoft calls it OneDrive now. And what's pretty cool about OneDrive now is that not only is it integrated into Windows 8.1, and it was in 8 as well, it also has more Dropbox-like bonus storage. So if you're a longtime Dropbox user like I am, you basically get 2 gigs free. And I know OneDrive at one point was actually 25 gigs, so I don't know if you jumped on that or not. But you can now earn extra storage by getting people to sign up. And so the bonus storage is very much something that Dropbox kind of started. But, you're introducing a referral bonus up to 5 gigs. So I think Dropbox at one point was 8. So you get the 2 free plus 8 additional if you got people to sign up. I believe mine is about a 10 gig account that I don't pay anything for. But it is pretty cool. It's kind of a neat function. They have for a while had an iOS app, and they now actually launched an Android app. So basically it's on every platform. It's on Windows Phone. It's on iOS as well as Android. So it's pretty cool to see, that they're still in the mix. Google I/O was also announced for June 25th and 26th. This is Google's big developer conference, and these are kind of interesting. Between them and Apple, usually they announce it, and within 20 minutes, it sells out. And so this year, to make it a little bit more interesting. They're basically launching it, and you have to win a lottery. So you put your name in, and they essentially draw your name. And if your name gets drawn, you get in. So they're probably doing a lot of favorable kind of handouts. I'm sure they're giving it to kind of all the top tier developers, but it is kind of nice to see that they're kind of giving everybody an even chance to get in. Obviously, if you get drawn, it's not free. It does cost a lot of money. Typically, it's a couple thousand dollars, but it was just kind of an interesting switch up because they've used it for years as kind of a bragging rights of how quickly they sell out, and now they're actually doing a lottery. 5 gigabyte hard drives are now available. Believe it or not, you can get them from LaCie, and it's amazing how this drive space thing is just going through the roof. It came from not just hitting different spinning disk storage capacities, but also just prices in general for RAM and solid states and spinning disks. So if you're in the market to pack your NAS full of the most terabytes you can, check out LaCie. They're actually doing the 5 gig or 5 terabyte drives. Last month when we talked, Windows 8.1 Update 1, which is essentially their big service pack to Windows 8.1, was leaked to be in April and now has hit RTM. So release for manufacturing, release to manufacturing is now out. If you're a TechNet subscriber or I believe a few of those MSDN, you should be able to get access to it and download it and test it out. I'm actually a TechNet user. I'm hoping to get some time this week, this coming week, to get it installed and check it out. But it's really supposed to add a little bit more desktop functionality. I know a lot of people that have Windows 8.1, maybe on a non-touch screen laptop, may think, the interface is very touch-centric. I personally don't have any problem with it. I've been using Windows 8 since its early inceptions of the developer preview, and I actually have embraced the new interface. I like a lot of the stuff they've done. It's definitely getting better. The Windows 8.1 update was a huge update. I don't even take advantage of the fact that I can boot to desktop, but I do really like a lot of the changes for the full screen apps and how you can snap them around. It's just getting a lot better. I know that they're doing a lot more for those that are mouse and keyboard users and not touchscreen users to really kind of refine it. I've got links in the show notes too if you want to check out more of the notes from Paul Thurrott and some of the other Mary Jo Foley and the others that write about Microsoft on a daily basis. I ran across this piece of news the other day. Dassault, which we all know good and well, invested $14.4 million in NuoDB, N-E-O or N-U-O-D-B. This is essentially a database, what they call a NoSQL database, and it was just kind of interesting. It caught my eye because I don't see a ton of news about Dassault in general. But this was written up by GigaOhm. It's a tech blog that I read quite often. It says Dassault Systems, the French tech giant behind 3D CAD products used to design most planes, trains, and automobiles that we use today, led a 14.2 million investment round in NuoDB, a new SQL database player. Apparently, they've been using this for more than a year, so it's kind of interesting. They didn't really get into too much more about the tech of it, but I'm actually kind of curious to know what they use it for, if they're using it for Xelite or if it is actually part of the backbone of some of the 3D experience. I'm unsure of that, but I just thought it was kind of interesting that they're investing in a new SQL database type of technology. And the last thing I got on here is Google drops storage prices. I know many of us are always looking for ways to house all these pictures and videos and all the stuff that we do. And, you know, between all the players, Box and Dropbox and SkyDrive, which is now OneDrive, and, Google Drive and everything else, the prices have always been fairly inexpensive. I remember back in the day, I used to use a tool called Jungle Disk, and I used to use Amazon S3 for my storage. It was relatively cheap. I have like 50 gigs up there, and it's $4 or $5 a month. It's super cheap. But Google is making it interesting. Being a user of Google products and obviously a purchaser of Chromebooks, the Chromebook purchases that I've gotten over the years have actually given me a 1 terabyte drive of storage, but they dropped the prices dramatically. If you've ever looked at the pricing for it, they were fairly expensive, but not too bad. It was probably for a terabyte about $25 or something a month. The layout is like this now. You get 15 gigs for free. You get 100 gigs for $2 a month. You get a terabyte for $10 a month, and 10 terabytes plus for $100. So it really is quite amazing how the pricing is coming down on these services. And, you know, ultimately we're going to want to store lots of stuff up there and get it off of our spinning disks as a backup functionality. And obviously there are concerns that a lot of people have with, you know, encryption and things like that. I know there are a lot of tools that will actually allow you to kind of sidestep and encrypt data before it actually lands on Google Drive. But ultimately, if you're just trying to store stuff to get it off your drives, you know, this drop in pricing is really quite interesting and definitely an uptick for those of us who have a lot of stuff up on the cloud. All right, well, that does it for the March tech news. A lot of stuff going on. Not a ton of real, you know, exciting stuff, but a lot of things happening. Like I said, over the next couple of months, we're going to really start to head into that kind of summertime. We start to get another wave of a lot of announcements that come out. Obviously, we'll start hearing more inklings about 2015 beta. I hope to see and hear a lot more stuff about SOLIDWORKS Inspection. I want to get a little bit more in-depth with SOLIDWORKS Plastic Advanced. And then I also want to talk a lot about just some of the packages and functions and feature sets of Mechanical Conceptual. But I will reserve that, like I said, until I really get enough wrench time in to give you the full picture of what actually this service is going to be like. So I'll talk to you next week, and stay tuned.
If you have any questions or comments about this episode, you can hit the comments section or email me at lou@solidworksherd. Don't forget to follow The Herd on Google+, Twitter, or Facebook by searching for SOLIDWORKS Herd. This episode of SOLIDWORKS Herd was sponsored by Digital Dimensions, Forward Engineering Solutions, online at www.ddicad.com. Music is provided by 21 Against by the means of Music Alley at musicalley.com.